Matthew chapter 6, we continue our study, Kingdom of God study. Today, I just don't see this being applicable in many lives today, so you just kind of have to, we'll just go through it because it's part of the Scripture, because I know you don't have a problem with worry, right? It's really not a concern of yours, but we're going to go through this just in case worry ever comes up in your life, okay? Of course, I'm being a little bit sarcastic here. We all have to deal with worry from time to time. Matthew chapter 6, would you stand as we begin reading in verse 25? Jesus said, "Don't worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more, or are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I praise you because you are God. I praise you because I know that you provide everything, that every good gift comes from you. I praise you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and I praise you, Lord, that we can trust you no matter what, that you are on your throne. There's no problem too big and no challenge too small for you to take care of for us. And Lord, we praise you. And we pray now, Lord, you would have your will and your way in this service, that all that's done would be for your honor and for your glory. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. And then through your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you'd apply it to each life as is appropriate. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus basically opens here with the phrase, "Do not worry about your life." Now, to give us a background and a full understanding of what Jesus is trying to accomplish, we go back to the first of this chapter for just a moment, and we stop and we take a look at what Jesus has been teaching his disciples. Jesus has been, he's told them in the beginning of chapter 6, he's taught them generosity. He said, "Give in such a manner that you give freely and that your right hand doesn't know what your left hand's doing." So the first thing he taught was a heart of generosity. Then he taught them how to pray and how to fast, and said, when you're praying and fasting, don't worry about everybody else. Don't worry what they think. Don't worry about putting on a show. You just worry about your relationship with God, right? So the other thing that he's taught them is, okay, it's not about public opinion. Then he taught them, he said, and oh, by the way, don't worry about money. Do you ever worry about money? Everybody in here worries about money at some point or another, right? Or some time or another. Well, God has basically told them money can't be your God. And he's basically said, don't worry about money. Now, if the disciples were to do everything that Jesus has told them to do up to this point, they disregard public opinion. They disregard money. That opens a door. And it opens a door for worry, just to be blunt. And the reason it opens the door for worry is because if you've got no money, if you've got no extra clothing, if you have no backing of the public, you're one tragedy away from being naked, destitute, and hungry, you know? So the disciples are here saying, okay, Jesus, we're going to give all this stuff. And Jesus said, and oh, by the way, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Now, I can see the disciples, the look on their face as Jesus says, don't worry about your life. And there's, what? Don't worry? Because Jesus could tell them, don't worry all he wants to. It's not going to do any good. If I tell you today, don't worry, does it mean anything to you? It's not going to change you one bit, is it? And so this is not just a don't worry. This is a revelation to the disciples of why they don't have to worry. Okay? Because we tend, even us, we tend to be legalistic here, and I've heard and I've even thought, you know, well, Jesus said don't worry, so worry's a sin. I'm not going to worry. Well, good luck with that, right? I can tell you don't worry, you're not going to listen to me. Jesus can tell you don't worry, you're not going to listen to Jesus. Even you yourself can say, I'm not going to worry. And the first thing you know, you're going to be worried about something. What do you need? You need to understand why you do not have to worry. Does that make sense? I need to know, okay, it's not enough just to say don't worry. I need to know why I do not have to worry. And that's what Jesus is trying to is trying to get across to his disciples. It's not just don't worry. It's I'm going to tell you why you don't have to worry about all that stuff we've been through here. He said, first consider the birds, or look at the birds. God takes care of the birds. They don't reap. They don't sow. They don't gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father, he takes care of them. Very faithfully, he takes care of them. Now let's stop right here. Do you ever watch birds? There are some, well, I enjoy watching the birds. But you know what I've noticed about the birds? They do not do anything that you and I do. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They don't have IRAs. They don't have stressful jobs or big businesses to run. I've never seen a real estate sign on a bird nest that says for sale. They never get tired of their nest and trade up for some new two-story nest somewhere. You know, hey, do you ever watch birds? If they get cold, what do? They just fly south. You've heard of snowbirds before, talking about people who go south for the winter. Maybe they're scriptural. Well, it's what birds do. And you know what's really crazy? They're happy. A bird just sits in the tree, swoops down and picks up a worm every once in a while, then goes back up into the tree and sings. Chirp, 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 chirp. I'm not even going to try, right? But they're happy. They're okay with that. They don't do anything to deserve their food or earn their food. God just provides their food. Now, I know we are different than the birds, and I'm not telling you to quit your job, and that's not the point, okay? That's not the point. The point is, as Jesus said in this text, are you not worth more than birds? Do you understand how God really feels about you? You don't have to worry because of the way God views you. And to give you an example, as a parent, you understand how you feel about your children, right? You know, at my age, my kids are gone and are grown up and gone and building their own life. But while they were home, I would do whatever it took to provide for my children. If I had to get another job, if I had to sell something, whatever it took, I'm going to provide for my children, you know? We're children of God. We're called, the Bible calls us children of God. Do you think that God would feed the birds and let His children go hungry? That would be child abuse, would it not? That would be child neglect. He's not. Absolutely. Another thing, do you ever look at your children? And I look back as I was raising my children. You know what the wonderful thing about kids? They don't worry about where their next meal is coming from. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you'd like your kids to worry about it a little bit so they'd appreciate that you're providing it. But they really don't. There's an innocence there. They just know that they're going to eat when it comes time to eat. And somehow the food just magically appears on the table, right? No. Mom and dad work, pay for it, fix it, put it on the table for them to enjoy. Our children never really wonder, and I understand there are kids that are not this fortunate. But for the most part, our kids, most of the time, don't worry about will they have clothes to wear. They just simply trust that mom and dad are going to provide for their needs. This childlike trust. You know, I think we can take lessons there. If you know how to take care of your child, and I know how to take care of my children, do you not think that God knows how to take care of you? Now remember, the point is, this is why you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry because you are a child of God. And God knows how to take care of you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 says this. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your heavenly Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Doesn't that just kind of make you step back and say, oh, I get it. I'm not on my own. You see, as a believer, you are a child of God, and you don't have to worry because God is your Father. Now, again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't work. I'm not saying that you don't labor to put food on the table. No, that's the system that God has built. A man earns his bread by the sweat of his brow, right? But God will provide you a way to earn that bread, right? He knows exactly what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. That's your Heavenly Father. You do not have to worry because God is your Father. I'll be honest with you. I would have been a little bit insulted if my kids had ever come to me and said, Dad, I was afraid you weren't going to feed me today. Wouldn't that be insulting? Dad, I was afraid that you wouldn't provide a roof over our head. And as I understand there are children in that category. But I also understand the way I feel as a father. And what God wants you and I to know is that if we can feel that way, you multiply that a million times, that's how He feels about you and I. He will ensure that our needs are provided for. Consider the birds, He said. Consider the lilies, He said. What do we know about the lilies? Well, we know that God is faithful in the lilies. And you know, these are little things, but you got to appreciate the little things before you can get to the big things, right? God is faithful. Lilies neither toil nor spin. You know what the word toil, it means to work. They don't have a job. To spin, it's the process of making thread. They don't, lilies don't work, they don't make thread, they don't sew the thread together to make cloth, they don't sew the cloth together to make clothes.
They don't do any of that stuff.
They simply grow where God puts them. And they're beautiful. They're beautiful. How are they beautiful? They're beautiful because God faithfully provides the soil and the nutrients that they need to become a beautiful plant. It's all what God provides. And he asks the question again. If God so clothes the grass of the field, that today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, why? Because it's dead and they burn it. If God so clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you? Are you worried? Why? God, your Father, he's proven his faithfulness. I want to tell you something that probably you don't, many people do not get. Are you ready? This may be a big revelation to some of you. God did not redeem you, then throw up his hands and say, I quit, I've done my part, you're on your own. He did not. He did promise, rather, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as put in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul wrote, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God still got us, and he's still on his throne. I don't have to worry because God still has me. He's never, now, don't get me wrong. You understand there may be some times your faith is probably going to be pushed. You're going to be pressed and it's going to be difficult to follow the Lord. But here's what you have to hold on to. That no matter what, you're a child of God. And if worse comes to worse, and we die today, what happens? There's a place prepared eternal in the heavens that'll never fade away for those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Okay? I don't know if I can say that's the worst or the best that can happen. You see the difference? God's got us. And that's what Jesus wants us to know. You don't have to worry because God is faithful. And you understand when I say God is faithful, it means trustworthy, right? And we talk about having faith. Our faith is a direct response, or should be a direct response to God's faithfulness. Okay? I want you to think about that. Faith is our response to God's faithfulness. When Jesus says, O you of little faith, you know what he's saying there? He's saying there, you don't trust me. Again, I go back to being a parent. The one thing I would never want to hear from my child is, Dad, I don't trust you. Why? And maybe this is a little bit arrogant, but I do take pride in, and I did take pride in the fact that I wanted to provide for my children. I wanted them to know that no matter what, their dad was going to be there. And he was going to provide everything he could provide along the way. Listen, I'm nowhere close to where God is. When he says, you have little faith, he's saying, you don't trust me. Because that's what faith is. Faith is when we trust, and I know the biblical definition from Hebrews, I get it, but this is, we're talking about the application. This is what faith looks like. Faith says, God, I trust you no matter what. Faith is the reliance on the integrity and the strength and the ability of Almighty God. That's what faith is. Do you realize how serious it is to worry? See, to worry is to question the integrity of God. It's saying, God, I don't think you can get me through this. It's saying, God, this is too big for you. It's saying, God, I can't count on you to carry me through. As a matter of fact, that's just the opposite of what faith is supposed to be, isn't it? And I will tell you, Faith, the idea of this, it's God, I trust you. I have complete confidence that you will do everything you say you will do. You realize God doesn't lie. If He says He'll do it, He'll do it. Period. End of conversation. Okay? And you have to have trust in the Lord. Or, dare I say, you have to have faith before you will be faithful. You don't know why people aren't faithful today? It's not a God problem. It is a faith problem. The reason I say that you have to have faith before you'll be faithful is because before you step out and do anything God will ask, you've got to believe that God will take care of you. Yeah? If God calls you to preach, before you say, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me," you got to know that wherever God sends me, He's got me. If you're going to give a generous offering, even to the point of sacrificial giving, you're going to have to know that if I give this today, then God's got tomorrow. It used to tickle me, then it got on my nerves when people would talk about spending money and offerings and building funds. And I heard this just so many times. People would say, "Well, you know, you never can tell. The roof may fall in tomorrow." And at first that amused me, then it made me angry. The reason it made me angry, because number one, I have never known a roof just to fall in. Yeah? Now, God may make it fall in if you don't have faith to serve Him today. But, you know, they say, yeah, the roof may fall in. Or, and again, and it's bring up the offering, and I'm not trying to guilt you into anything. I ask you to pray and you give as God leads you to give, okay? I'm going to tell you the problem we have with giving. Problem we have with giving is if I give it today, we think I might need it tomorrow. What if I have an unexpected bill tomorrow? What if I have a health issue tomorrow? Do you not think God knows what you have tomorrow? That's why I say you pray and you give as God leads. God leads us always to be generous. God always leads us to be faithful in our giving. And so you pray and you give as God leads. But do not make the excuse of what if. What if I need it tomorrow? What if you need it tomorrow, you're God's child. Being God's child, guess what? He will provide it. Isn't that what parents do? Well, Brother Doug, what if I get sick? If you get sick, you're God's child. Being God's child, He's going to provide the health care you need, or the medicine you need, right? Or, as I say, worst is worst. We die and go to heaven. Then it's glory for eternity. You see, you've got to trust God before you'll be faithful. God says give that offering, give it. Faith says yes. God says teach that class, faith says yes. Doubt says I can't, I won't, get someone else. You see, you got to understand the point of this whole message. The point of the message is that we as believers at this point, we must have complete confidence in God's provision no matter what, period. End of discussion. If God says do, if God says go, even when it doesn't make sense. Do you know how often God does things that doesn't make sense to us? But our minds are not the mind of God. Our ways are not God's ways. I'll go back and I think about David and Goliath. What a story. I've always thought David, you know, that little immature rascal standing up there with a sling facing that giant. You know how he got there? You see, Goliath for 40 days stepped out and yelled at the armies of Israel and defied the armies of Israel, blasphemed their God and said, send one man to face me. Winner takes all. Yeah. Day after day, for 40 days, he steps out and he challenges the armies of Israel. And you know what the armies of Israel did? They hid. Why? Because nobody had faith enough to step out and fight the giant. Now imagine, 40 days, it's the same thing over and over and over until this little shepherd boy, he comes to visit his brothers and he just happens to be there at just the right time and he hears Goliath step out and make the challenge, blaspheme the God of Israel. And David's like, whoa, wait a minute. He doesn't know who he's talking about. And then he turns to everybody else and says, why aren't you going? What's the deal? Well, he's Goliath. Nobody can beat him. David said, I can beat him. I got a sling and a stone. I actually got five. David said, I'll go face him. How could he do that? I'll be honest with you. I look at a big fella and I think, nah, I'm going back to the cave and hide a while. Right? But David at that point in his life was so full of faith. He said, yeah, not a problem for me and God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, you find out how he had such faith. See, it says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. You see, David went back to his days as being a shepherd, and he said, there were days when the lion came out to get my sheep. I said, you can't have him. Kill the lion. Then there were days bears came. He said, no, you can't have my sheep. Kill the bear. But he didn't say, I killed him. He said, the God that delivered me from the lion and the bear. See, David knew it was God doing it. Too often, we get to think, yeah, we did that. I'll be honest with you, at this point in my life, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be able to say, look what I did. I want to be able to say, look what God did. That's what it means to trust God. Oh, David, you know, he had been through that. And he said, I'll go. This giant is no match for my God. Before you have the courage to face the giants, you've got to have faith. Worry is a lack of faith. Okay? When God says, when Jesus says, don't worry, He's saying, trust me. He's saying, trust me. And the only answer, our only response to that can be, yes, Lord. Lord, I trust you. Life's hard right now, but Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm broke right now, but Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm sick. I'm fighting this battle. But Lord, I trust you. You see, we talk about the power of God. Do you believe that God is an all-powerful God? The challenge is to act like it. Live like it. Live with that confidence. You want to not worry? Okay? We're told, don't worry. How are you going to get there? Live like God is the God whom we say He is, because He is. And He will never leave nor forsake His children, because He is a faithful, faithful Father. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. I want to offer you this. God is here today. It is so easy to get caught up in the battles of life, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, or it's just plain trouble. You're being attacked by Satan. It's easy when we get under fire to forget we serve an awesome God. Today I want to challenge you to take your eyes off your trouble and put them on the God that you serve. We're going to have an invitation in just a few moments. I'm going to ask the staff to come forward. And if there's something we can pray for you about, we would count it an honor to kneel with you at this altar and pray with you. But if we do that, we do that knowing that God can deliver you from what you face. We come before His altar knowing that He can do things only God can do. You know, I made the request of the church to be praying that we be able to do this building program debt-free, that God will just open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing so as we cannot contain it, we'll be able to build this building and do everything we need to do without borrowing a dime. Do you realize God can do that? That's one of my big prayers right now. And people will look at it, well, I don't know about that, brother. If you don't know, you don't know my God. But not only does God work in things like offerings and churches, and God works personally. He works personally. He knows how to deliver you. And you know what? The good part to that story is He will deliver you at just the right time. He didn't say, I'd keep you out of trouble. He said, I'll go through the fire with you when you're going. Today, if you do not have a relationship with this Almighty God that I've spoken of, I want you to know that Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary to break the power of sin in your life, to bring you forgiveness, to bring you an eternal home in heaven. And I want to ask you today, will you come to Jesus for salvation? If you would you step out? If you're here today and you want, you'd give us the privilege of praying with you, we have this invitation. I'd invite you to step out. If you're here today and you need to join this church, I'd invite you to step out. Follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, challenge is this. Quit making excuses and say, yes, Lord. Father, we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.